of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Find that, please. I love when men sing. I like when the ladies sing, but I love that masculine. Thank you, guys. Before I get going here, I just want to announce, you don't have to be cool to ride my bus. I take all the deplorables on my bus. I take all the heavy laden. So if you want to be cool, you go on his bus, all right? I take the deplorables. I take everybody, all right? Oh, boy. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Before I begin, I have to confess the past few weeks, my soul has been very reflective. Probably started in mid-November when I flew out west for the alumni and friends banquet and got to spend 3 days up where I grew up, got to do some sightseeing, got to do a little bit of hunting, fellowshipping with my brothers and sisters-in-laws, and Mrs. Douglas joined me. We went down to that meeting, but the place where my mother and stepfather are buried is just about a quarter of a mile from where I grew up. Spent a little bit of time there and just reflecting on how good God is. I wasn't a Christian during that period of time. It was a very dysfunctional home, and that's putting it lightly. And just reflected of all the things that brought me to eventually salvation. Then I came back home and got ready for Thanksgiving, and the entire family was there, and the grandchildren all over the place. And again, that just causes me, I'm not an old man, I'm very young at heart, and mature, not old. And just watching the grandchildren and the blessing of family. And all three of our children love the Lord, serve the Lord, attend church faithfully at their different churches. My wife, and just, I was very blessed. And then just, you know, reading through the book of Ecclesiastes, the event last October 13th that really, really changed my life. October 13th, approximately 11:45 a.m., it was like a sledgehammer hit me right there. I didn't know what it was, and I thought, okay, maybe it's just, I ate something bad, and it'll go away. It didn't go away, and, you know, within 5 minutes, I realized I was having a heart attack. I looked in the mirror of my truck when I got in, and I was just an ashen gray, a really, really pale color. And called the ambulance, and the ambulance, of course, came and tested me there before they transported me. And once they took my EKG, everything was rush, rush, rush. And from that point to the hospital, it seemed like an eternity and just thousands of thoughts raced through my mind. I wondered if this was going to be the day that I met my Savior, and I was fine with that. And everybody in my family, their faces raced through my mind. But when I came to my grandchildren is when it was scary the most. Mrs. Douglas, adult children, all adult children, they would understand death is going to take all of us, but they don't. Little kids don't understand that. And, of course, the rest is history. You've heard the story over and over again. But that story, that event right there made such a huge impact. And then the night I came home from the hospital, the first hospital stay, literally, I would have to classify it as an incredible emotional breakdown. Because I was alive. And because I was with my family. Just by chance, it was not predetermined. My mother and father-in-law were there. My daughter from Alabama was there. And I walked into the door. I hugged everybody. And I told each person, I love you, Dad. I love you, Mom. I love you, Mike. I love you, Liz. I love you, Megan. I love you, Eric. I love you, Kara. I love you, Tina. I had to move into a room off of our kitchen area. It was a kind of, it's a dining room that really nobody uses. And Mrs. Douglas and I probably for 5 minutes embraced each other and cried. I thank God. God gave me a new lease on life. I'm going to preach on the subject of time. Time. That's it. We all have time. This is an hourglass, you know that. And it begins at birth. And it ends at death. Do we have our, go ahead and put that on there. And you have to determine to a great degree what you're going to do between birth and death. I'm going to come down here so I can look back here and see what's up on the screen. The question is simple. What are you going to do between the day that you came into this world and the day that you go out the world? You know when you came into this world, but you don't know when you're leaving this world. You know, November 25th revealed to all of us that life is uncertain. Life is no respecter of people. God has an appointed day for each and every one of you. It very could be 1 year from now we will be grieving your homegoing. We don't know. I hope not. My prayer would be each of you lived a full life and enjoyed the blessings of marriage and the blessings of children. My prayer for you would be you would love the Lord and stay in church and just have a quality life, but I know that not to be true. Some of you here within the next 5 years, you will be married and divorced. Not trying to be a downer, I'm just telling the truth. I've lived long enough, I know. Some of you will experience death before your time, an early death. It's not a bad thing if you know for sure Christ is your Savior, but it is a reality. Some of you will live miserable lives. You will not experience peace. You will not experience love. And that's nobody's fault but your own. And so the purpose of this is just for you to understand your responsibility in time. I am a steward of the time God gave to me. There's a lot of misconceptions about time. And so I want you to get this down next. Gentlemen, if you want to come down, you may. Our days are like identical suitcases. They are all the same size. Some people are able to pack them in two and more than into the others. I'm always a little bit concerned about what youth does when they graduate from high school. And a lot of times you'll see 18, 19, 20-year-olds travel the world. And I'll be honest with you, I just don't get that. You know, it's pretty clear in the book of Lamentations that in your youth you should bear the yoke. You should be a hard worker. You should really get down. You ought to learn. It's not time for recreation. And I'm not saying recreation isn't important. It is important, but in its place it serves a person, a purpose. So again, we all have the same size suitcases. And if you're like Mrs. Douglas, you can get a lot in that suitcase. Next, time is an equal opportunity employer. Everybody gets 24 hours a day, no more, no less, but not everybody gets the same return on the 24 hours. So some people waste time. That's what that statement is saying right there. You waste time. Some of you really have wasted this day. And I'm not saying you didn't go to class or anything like that, but you have wasted this day. And I'm going to give you from the Bible, really how you have to control yourself within time and make every day count. And a lot of it is just a self-awareness. You don't have to wait until a life-threatening event to take place in your life to say, you know what, I'm going to seize the moment. I'm going to seize this day. Next, time cannot be managed. We've all heard the term time management. Can I just say this? I may say it and others may say this, but it is impossible to manage time. You might as well try to tame a wounded grizzly bear. You would do that easier than you would manage time. You can't control time. It keeps on going. Seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades, centuries, millenniums. We keep track of time. And it keeps on going. Only one time in the world history has time stood still. And we find that in the book of Joshua for his purpose. And so I don't think that's going to happen, but you can't manage time, so stop trying to manage time. Next, time simply is. It cannot do anything. Time provides the historical framework in which things happen. But time has no innate ability in itself. To express the same thought in different words, time is quantitative. In other words, it's a measurement, not qualitative. Okay, everybody sorts of knows that, but that kind of puts that in words. Next. Eternity is endless, but time is measured by a beginning and end, and that is life. This is your life right here. The grains of sand are falling, never to be relived again. I can't relive yesterday. I can do nothing about yesterday. I can't change this morning. I can't change 1 week ago. It is all gone. It is all in the bottom of the glass right there. What are you packing in your suitcase that is going to be valuable for life? Eternity is endless, and God tells us that. God doesn't wear a watch. God doesn't have a wall where he has a clock. That's eternal. The only time really that we can document where there is time is here on this earth in this life, where there is a beginning and there will be an end, and then there will be eternity. Pretty soon I'm going to preach. Next, the Bible does not specify if or in what sense time existed before creation or will exist after Jesus' return. Nor does the Bible specify the relationship between time and eternity, either in unending time or timelessness. You know, the question that I asked my preparation for leadership class is there an end to time? And you know what? This year they were good. Some said yes, some said no. And by the way, both of them are right. It depends on what perspective. Time has an end and a beginning here in this life, but eternity is forever. You say, Brother Douglas, can you explain that? No, I can't. Nor can you. Next, don't manage your time, manage your life. You got to manage you. Really, what we need to say is self-management. Let's be honest here. How many of you have a hard time managing yourself? I do at times. I have a hard time managing myself. If you master that, I'm telling you, life is going to be full of quality time. You are going to have many rewards at the judgment seat of Christ if you learn to manage yourself. You are going to be a great influencer if you can manage yourself. If you cannot master that or you totally fail at that, then you're going to be just like about 90% or more of the world population. You just exist in life. And I don't believe that that is the way God intended for us to live. We are Christians. We see life completely different than everybody else. We should see it from a biblical view or a God view of the world. And we should pack as much as we can into every 24 hours that we have. Next, God is transcendent over time. Transcendent, it means God is above all, infinitely beyond the bounds of time, space, and humanity. This makes God incomprehensible to his creation. Okay, big statement. You may not understand it. You don't need to understand it because we can't understand the mightiness, the power, and all that is in the mind of God. Next, humanity is subject to time. Let's just put it this way. We are slaves to time. Time is not a slave to us. It keeps on ticking. It does not slow down. Next, the span of life is brief and passing. Psalm 144:4, man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Or his days is like a grain of sand going through an hourglass. Next and last, don't celebrate leisure and condemn hard work. Don't celebrate leisure and condemn hard work. Put leisure and labor side by side and esteem them both. Leisure will give your life pacing. Labor will make your life productive. You need both. Now, gentlemen, you can return to the platform here if you want to. You don't have to. It's as simple as this, because, you know, especially here at this culture, at this time at Hiles Anderson College, you criticize each other so bad by the what you do or what you don't do. And really, that's a waste of breath. It really is. You take care of you, you do fine. Now, while I'm on that subject, can we talk about the gossip and the backbiting and the tail-bearing that go on at Hiles Anderson College? It will be a part of every sermon if I have to make it a part of every sermon. Small community, it is a natural thing that we want to do, and other than myself, very few people preach against this. Why? Because everybody does it. It grieves God's spirit. Is that what you're going to do in your ministry, future pastors? Criticize your congregation? Is that what the pastor's wives are going to do? You're going to criticize the ladies of the church? Listen, this is a great tool God can use you to expand your tolerance and love people. Get it now while you're at Hiles Anderson College. Now, let's move on. Let's see the biblical look. We go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Please turn there. We're going to look at it a few things. And number one is this: God decrees a time for pleasure and pain. And we see this in chapter 3, verse 1. And let's read this out loud here. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'll tell you where to read. To everything there is a season and a time for to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Read verse 3. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Verse 4. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. 5. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Verse 6. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war. So God decrees, it's ordained of God for all these events to happen. And if you research each and every one of them, you'll find they're about 50-50. 50% of them are negative events that are going to happen in your life. 50% of them are good things that will happen in your life. And God gives them all to you. And then look what he says here in verse number 10. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men, to be exercised in it. They're all potentially good events. You know, some of your darkest days that you labeled this was the darkest day of my life may not really have been the darkest day in your life. I could go back to the way I was raised and what I witnessed in my home and all the events that took place, and especially the 2 years in Germany where I literally, morally, physically, everything hit rock bottom. But it was those dark days that caused me to start searching for truth in life. And I wanted truth, I just did not know where to find it. Now, many of you are first, second, third generation Christians. You knew about the gospel at an early age, not me. And so I got stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and I thought, okay, I'm going to get my act together. And by sheer willpower, I thought, I'm going to stop doing this stuff. But the bottom fell out. And I was back doing all those things that were so destructive to me. All drug and alcohol related. And finally, my roommate got saved. Went to a Baptist church, got saved, came back and told me. I went and I got saved. So those darkest days in Germany, if they would have been good days, I may not have gotten saved. It's the dark days that teach and mold the heart. If you live just for pleasure, I just want to have fun, I just want to laugh. First of all, you're very foolish. That's not life. If you're 18, you think, I really need a big youth department activity here, and I just want it to be raw, 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 fun, 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 excitement, excitement, excitement. I just want to say, pull your head out of the sand. We should also rejoice in negative events. And may I just say this, your darkest day may not be your darkest day. You'll date here. You'll break up here. Your heart will be crushed here. It may not be the darkest day, though. You know, negative events is what molds your heart to love people and do ministry better. It really is. And you take some of the greatest men who have national platforms and worldwide platforms, and we could look back at life and trace back this event. This tragic event was the thing that changed their life. For our pastor, it was the death. It was the homegoing of his older son. God appoints seasons and times. All events affirm God is at work in our lives. Good or bad, God is at work in our lives. A birth and a death, planting and plucking. And don't despair if you're not experiencing growth on your bus route or in your life. It may be not a season for you to reap, but to sow. If you're on a difficult bus route, you're not seeing much fruit produced, maybe you're just there for the one purpose of planting seeds so the next guy or the next guy can come back and reap it up. Don't get a big head either if you got a big bus route and you start patting yourself on the back, because it was the last year, the year before, that their labor that did what you have. Learn to see life from a higher perspective than just your 5 feet or your 6 feet or whatever it may be. Time for killing and healing, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Time for casting stones and gathering stones, and I won't get in and explain that, but basically there's a time for opportunities and there's a time to lose opportunities. There's a time for embracing and refrain from embracing. Now, contrary to the belief of that has nothing to do with you at college here. Nor does that mean you can embrace. That was the custom in Jewish times where you would meet people and say hello, you embraced each other, and I'm glad this is not our culture, and you would kiss them on the cheek. Embrace the cheek. How would you like to adopt that? That would just be weird. Come here. They see nothing wrong. It's their culture. What it means is there's going to be hellos and there's going to be goodbyes. Some of you came here as freshmen, and in May you'll be leaving. We said hello to you as a freshman, and then 12 years later we'll say goodbye to you as seniors. Each day is a gift from God. Travail may seem like a strange gift, but it is a good gift. Our darkest days will often provide light for our future days. Next, turn your Bibles to the book of Psalm, chapter 39, Psalm 39. Number one is God decrees a time of pleasure for pain and pleasure. Psalm chapter 39, verse 4 says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity and Selah. This is David talking in very, very a wise manner. And he's not asking for the date of when he's going to die. And he's not asking God for the means. How am I going to die? He's not saying, God, am I going to die this year? Am I going to die 5 years from now? Am I going to die 20 years? And God, how am I going to die? Is it going to be a heart attack? Is it going to be cancer? Is it going to be an automobile accident? That's not what he's saying. What he is saying, he wants to know his frailty, how weak he is in that season of time, wherever he may be. And can we all just come to the conclusion we're not strong people? Now, there's some areas we need to be strong. We need to be strong in faith. We need to be strong in moral convictions. And as I said yesterday, we need to have strong moral virtue within us, inside of us. And this is the developing time. You are in the developing season. It took me 12 years of education and then 5 years of college. So 17 years, the season of my life was to receive and learn so I could serve somebody later on. 4 years of my life have been used to serve my country. Many years have been used to serve God and serve other people. Now, you're in a season right now, and you better stay in this season. Don't try to reach out. Listen, seasons don't change. If seasons change, I would say, God, make it spring now. May the grass turn green. May the flowers begin to bloom. May the clouds go to Florida or somewhere else. May God bring spring. But you don't rush a season. Only God determines the season, and only God determines your season of life. For some of you struggle. I wish I could just tell you one thing, couple things. It's been, number one, God loves you. Number two, we love you. Number three, let other people love you, please. You're too stuck on yourself and your problems. Don't do that. You act like every day is an incredible challenge. Again, I want to remind you, some days are challenging, but there are some days you ought to be skipping down the hallway, dancing down the hallway. You shouldn't be in a state of depression from August to May. Have fun. Smile, your face is not going to crack. Next, what David is saying is, I want to know the certainty of my death. And again, the point is, how your life ends determines the path that you take to arrive. It's very simple. What do you want people to say about you at your funeral? Now live towards that mark. Can we just agree with something? Don't we all like people to say good things about us? We do. We all need it. Some need it every hour, every day. Some need it about once a week or so, or once a month, or twice a year. But we all need it. You know, I thought Brother Bailey's homegoing and his funeral here was honoring of the Lord and honoring of his life. And I didn't hear anybody exaggerate his life, because he truly was. I've also preached funerals where there was just a handful of people there. When I got to Tennessee, my first or second week there, a funeral home called me and said, Pastor, my name is, he introduced himself, he says, would you be able to preach the funeral of so-and-so? Sure. Found out later, no other pastor in that area wanted to preach a message. He had some huge issues, which I'm not going to talk about. But as much as I could, with what information I got, I made him sound like a hero. What is somebody going to say about you at your funeral? This is really what David is saying. I want to know the end. How your life ends determines the path you take to arrive at it. Determined to give your life to the Lord. Determined not to fight with God and fight with other people. He also is saying, know the certainty of death, know the brevity of life, keep the end in view, is what he is saying there. And life is very brief. I remember when I sat where you sat. It was not long ago. Dr. Cowling, over 80 years of age, he will say life is very brief. And it is very brief. Stop living it like you have a millennium to live. You don't have a millennium to live here on this earth. Next is this. Turn to Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. Just a few chapters in front of that. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. I know this is not a rah, rah, rah sermon, but this is hopefully, prayerfully, a message that will provoke you to think. Proverbs chapter 90, verse 12. Let's read it out loud together. Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. Ready? So teach us to number our days. Let's talk about some truths here. First is this, use time to increase wisdom. Use time to increase wisdom. You know, I don't know if I'll ever change this. You know, in my classes, I give you a syllabus. I give you the actual notes. The only reason I do that is because I have to hate to pause in between my teaching. I just want to get that information out there. But what students do, you've probably seen this too, is you'll say some of the most remarkable things, some of the most useful things that they'll need in life and they'll need in ministry, and they just go like this. Write it down. That's why you're here. That's why you pay the money you pay. To get an education. You're filling up your toolbox. I'm telling you right now, if I was pastoring or in any position to hire, which I am here, some of you I would not hire. Just because you don't manage your time, your life within time, just because you go through the motions. But then I see many of you, you have virtue, you have moral power, you have a sense of awareness, you know that you have a limited time. And you use it wisely. That's what I'm saying here. That's what this message is saying. That's what God is saying. Time's running out for all of us on this earth. Next, we are stewards of his time. We will be held accountable for what you did with your time at the judgment seat of Christ. So, Mr. Lutz, because you like picking on me and I like picking on you, stand down there because you're the sinner. Come back. Down there. Do not stand upon my throne. Get down there. Turn and face me. So you finally made it. I gave you life. You know that. How did you use it?
I wasted it.
I gave you talents, didn't I? What'd you do with the talents I gave you? I noticed you own a yacht. I noticed that you have a $1.2 million home. I noticed you have two Jeeps, recreational vehicles, quads, jet skis. Did you have fun while you were there? Okay. Michael the Archangel. Take him to the ghettos. All right. You say, Brother Douglas? The ghettos. That may not be doctrinal, okay? But what is doctrinal is we will all have to give an account of the gifts, our talents, and our time, and much, much more, and how we use them. Don't be a wasteful servant. Don't be a slothful servant. Next, I'm going to hurry here. Ephesians chapter 5, turn there please. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse number 15 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." Now let me just say this. Circumspectly means very carefully. I always liken it to a platoon of soldiers, Lieutenant Lutz, who know that there are IEDs in the area. Those are explosive devices, improvised explosive devices buried in the ground. And I promise the troops that are in the Middle East, they are very, very, very careful where they step. And God is saying in life, be very, very careful where you step and where you go. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding that the will of the Lord is. First of all, we need to purchase each day. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that we need to purchase every day. Because by a natural condition, every day has potential of evil. Every day you will be enticed. You will be challenged. You will be tempted. Evil will present itself to you. And God is saying here, that word redeemed means purchase or buy back. And so day one, I'm going to come to day one. Let's just take it down by the hours. I want to take 12:30 to 1:30 and I want to purchase it so God will be glorified. That also means that I have to kind of make a schedule with what I'm going to do with that time. Did you hear that word? It's called schedule. And I know all of you have a very schedule that you go by to the T. I'm being a little bit sarcastic right now. So hour number one, come here. I'm purchasing you, so now I own you. Could you walk up on the platform there? Hour number two, Mr. Tarr, I own you. Go up there. You're going to be used very wisely. That hour right there is preparation in the morning. That's cleaning up, hopefully underarm deodorant, showers, all that good stuff, brush teeth and everything. That's getting coffee, that's getting breakfast. That's spending time with God. I purchased that hour. This hour is class number one. I'm going to be mentally alert. I'm going to ask God, what do I need to learn in this class that I can use later in life? Now, I understand that many of you think, well, I'm 19, I know everything. And I'm just going to say, no, you don't. Do you know, there's a lot more people that are more intelligent than me, and I will take wisdom, godly wisdom, over intelligence every day. Hour number three, I'm purchasing you, I own you. Get up there. That's the next class. Hour next, I own you. Get up there. That's chapel right there. Oh, Brother Douglas, we go to chapel all the time, Brother Douglas. Do you know, I have come to the conclusion that some of you here don't get anything out of chapel. It's a very, very small minority. You look at chapel as a bore, as a necessity, as a time to talk with your friends and your boyfriend or girlfriend, and God's going to hold you accountable. So I could rant and rave about what is going on here. Don't fear me, fear God. You really do. You have to turn on the mental alertness. I could point to sections of here, and I don't want to label people, but it seems like, gentlemen, it's same year, same place, every year, it's like birds of feather flock together. And it, should I go further or should I leave that alone? I don't, maybe it's the scent of the seats or something, I don't know, where you go smell around and say, aha, just like an animal does. That's a little bit crude, I'm sorry. But I do look at these things, and by the way, where I sit, I want to make sure I'm in an area that where I can hear the pastor. I really do. Sometimes I'm tired, but I'll say, Lord, I need something here. And I pay attention. I immensely enjoyed that message yesterday. The next hour, I'm buying you. Get up there. This is my lunchtime. Now, this hour that I bought is a little bit different. It can be enjoyable. Talk with your friends. Eat. Now, here goes the next hour. This is my way to work. I own you. Now, this one, you know, it's your choice. Sometimes you may have to use that time to just get a little bit of rest. But if not, you ought to be studying. See, what you're not doing is scheduling or redeeming the time. Now, I'm not going to pie you because I'm a little bit tired. So you can do whatever you want. And when we don't live by schedule, there is a great potential for wrong or evil to happen in our lives. Thank you. You can all go back to your seats. Oh, look what happened. Time ran out. It's going to end. What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days, the weeks, the months, the years, the decades, the centuries? That's about where we stop right there. Redeeming the time, for the days are what? Our Father, we thank you for your goodness. God, I pray.